Blog Talk Radio. watching the law as they ride past in their patrol car. So tell me why I feel like the enemy. You're supposed to be here protecting me. I might have went too far, helping to contribute to making their job hard. Serving things like these people ain't no enemy.
All right. Praise God. Peace and blessings, love and service, family. We're with y'all. Hey, man, y'all forgive me for these little interplays that we have going on. I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. It's cold in the studio, man. And I had no idea it was going to be this cold. It was like 2 days ago. It was so sunny, and the sun was shining down and warming up the land. And it's like I just knew that this weekend was going to be a warm one compared to how it was Wednesday and Thursday. But I find myself, you know, blowing on my hands, striving to get those fingers warmed up, get my connections together. But definitely, I want to welcome everybody in to Pops Movement Radio Networks. This is Sunday Night Street Talks, and we do this in conjunction with our love for what's going on in L.A. in April of 2018, which is the anniversary and the National Peace Summit. And family, we want to continue to encourage people to get out and do what it is that is required of all of us to have hope in our street affiliates, to have faith in our higher power and our people as a whole, have faith in their ability to do something, to believe in the lives of our young people who are growing up in gangs and street affiliations. And with that being said, family, we want to definitely encourage our people to begin to speak life into existence as it concerns our street gang. You know, many people are tired of dealing with young people, with the younger generation. Many people want to throw it off on the government. Many people want to say, well, I'm going to let the police deal with it because they won't listen. Many people say that it's up to the parents, and since the parents didn't do a good job, we'll leave it up to the government or prisons or whoever and whatever has to deal with these young, ignorant, absent-minded lives that are careless and lacking anything as far as a concern for their life and the lives of others. And so, family, we don't get down like that here at Pops Movement. We don't work in that mind state, and we trust and believe in all human life that exists here on this earth in our generation. And that is one of our people. That's somebody's child. That's someone's father and mother. That's someone's sister and brother. And for that, many of us have dedicated our life to being about our people. And that is our people. And so with that being said, welcome everybody to Sunday night at Pops Movement Radio Networks. I'm your host tonight, Brother Head, striving to deliver my best. And I welcome you all in with many peace and blessings. I strive to show how much I would love for your life to be blessed by my love and my willingness to be of service. You know, tonight, family, I don't want to go too far off track. I want to stay right here. And I want to ask the question tonight: why should we care about street gangs and street organizations? Why should we care about these street affiliates? Why? What is it to us whether or not they go off and kill themselves, kill each other? Because we feel that maybe that is the only solution, that is the only route. But then when the drama, the hurt, the death hits home, by an innocent bystander or by someone who was very profound in the minds and the lives of important people, now all of a sudden it's something that people want to become of a mind state that is tough on crime, tough on guns, tough on drugs, tough on this and tough on that. Well, when are we going to become soft in our hearts? Because these lives have become cold. When are we going to become warm? They say the solution is the opposite of the problem. And I don't understand why our society cannot see that. What is so stuck in our attitudes that we feel like the younger generation of street affiliates are not worth our time, our love, and our compassion? I hardly see anyone speaking about taking a walk in a young street affiliate's shoe, but have much to say when it comes to why they can't get out there and speak to the young people. I can't speak to them, Brother Hess, man. They won't listen. And I'll be done boxed them in their mouth. Well, Brother Hess, you know, we have strived to work with many of them. And every time that we do, we put much money and time into these young people, and they don't care. They use our money, and they use up our time, and they go off, and they talk behind our backs, and they violate, they bring in people who want to destroy things. Well, see, Brother Hiss, let me tell you something, fam. You know, I ain't got time for that no more, man. I done gave my time. See, I done gave my money. I done gave my home to these young cats, and, you know, I ain't got nothing else to give. And so we're able to move on in our life and say, forget them. Forget them. Forget the truck that they rolled in on. And forget whatever may happen to them while they are there by themselves. If they kill each other, oh well. If they do something in the community to go off to prison for the next 50 years, oh well. But if they ever touch my house, I'll kill one of them. Are you serious? Are you serious? And so my question is, not only why should we care about street gangs and organizations, but what do we do as a great and mighty people who has forgotten our weakest link? Have we forgotten what it's like to be young and easily influenced? Have we forgotten what it's like to be victimized by our peer groups and looking to a way, any way, to become stronger, to become more capable of facing the storms of life that one has to deal with every day just in going to school, just in making it back home, just in enduring the playtimes when one is being bullied and picked on and ridiculed and ostracized from his own community people? You know, have we forgotten? Have we gotten that far away of what it's like to get that feeling when you come around a camaraderie ship, a group of comrades that all believe in the same thing and feel the same way and are willing to go to any length to prove their loyalty to this belief system? Have we forgotten, my family? And if we have not forgotten, then how can we be so easy to cut off the lines that connect us to these lives, to these young people? But for the grace of God, there go I. And so I come in tonight, family, because I feel like it's time for us to step back in, step back up, and do whatever we need to do to recreate an opportunity to get involved in their life. You know, family, I want to look to you all because I feel like you all have the opportunity to deliver what it is that nobody else can give, and that's an unconditional love. But in order to do that, we have to remove the conditions that we put between us and our young people. Our bandana toters, our hand sign signalers, Well, what is it going to take, Brother Hess? You're saying a whole lot, but you ain't telling us what is it going to take. Well, in my humble opinion, family, I'm asking you what it's going to take. I'm asking you because if you don't know, then maybe you can plant a seed with us here on Pops Movement Radio. And I can plant a seed, and she can plant a seed, and Lil' He can plant a seed, and Elder Her can plant a seed, and together we can raise up a field of plants that has the remedy within it. But if we don't begin to plant seeds, then family, what will come up in this field is the same thing that we've been getting. Our young people going to the pen and to the grave. Our older people continue to disregard their responsibilities and duties because nobody's going to check our young people except those who have gone through what they've been through. Well, Brother Hess, they won't listen. Well, maybe I haven't done enough to gain their ear. Or maybe I'm striving to do things in a timely fashion. And I don't realize that to reconcile with these young people, it's going to take time. It's going to take money. It's going to take using every influence that I have available and some that I don't have. And so I'm going to have to reach out to people that I don't normally work with, that I don't like to associate with because of what they did in the past to me and my people. You see, reconciliation in the dictionary, it says, the act of reconciling, a condition of being reconciled. And when you look up reconcile, it says to reestablish a close relationship between, to settle or resolve, to bring oneself to accept. Have we accepted what is as is? Do we realize the part that we are supposed to play in our people's life? And if we do, are we afraid of committing a portion of ourselves to this? And that's where my mind is at tonight. So, you know, y'all flow with me, man, and go with me. And even if this doesn't lead to anywhere that you can see right now, I pray that at some point down the road of our quest toward reaching out to our street affiliates, that you will be able to go back to this time and to this space and pull from the tools that we're laying out here tonight. You know, I was writing a little poem on education a couple of weeks ago, and it says, this is the learning of life and truth, how I fit within it all, providing options of ways to grasp knowledge, justice, stand tall. Any who obtain almighty education for wealth is doomed to fall, along with those who utilize it for power and influence, to shot call. You see, education is the study of self and how our drive is best spent. It's the accumulation of understandings. So true, it becomes heaven sent. Our focus naturally pursues that with which can complements our mental tent, creating an atmosphere of exploration, busy striving to give and use as we went. What system promotes an imitation of Young Thug, Elliot Ness, and Jesse James? Would you dare stand before the Creator making such claims? The study of life and truth declares the difference of a queen and dames, detailing the wisdom required to reach noble success instead of shame. Education gives me the facts of how to use economics to growing and developing what our community needs to eventually bestowing. Our generation has a duty to make sure those to come will know that the value of our existence is in a humanity worth sacrificing for. We've often been told that we're only as strong as our weakest link. Now let us prove this logic by setting out to swim instead of sink. The ways of an educated human is to clean up and refresh what stink. Our lives and minds are too precious for egotistical and greedy rinky-dink. You know, family, and I say that because You know, people want to chase the almighty dollar, but we won't want to chase our responsibilities. What do you think? You know, come in with us tonight here at Pops Movement Radio and give us your thoughts. We're going to go to the line. Brother Yon, you ready to bring some callers in your family?
Yes, brother, yes. Caller 619-599, you're live and on the mic. Please announce who you are and where are you calling from?
It look like Brother Shawbody, are you live with us tonight here at Pops Movement Radio?
Yeah, what's happening with your brothers? What's good with y'all, man?
Man, we chilling like a villain and a brother feeling right. You know what's happening here, man. What's happening with you tonight, brother?
Yeah, man, I'm really touched on the subject tonight, man, because, like, when it comes to, you know, saving our shorties, man, and, you know, showing them something different, you know, and helping them out, you know, the thing is, bro, it's about being out here and showing them what you do instead of trying to teach them, because when you try to teach them something, you ain't got nothing behind your back, you ain't got nothing to show for it, then they ain't really trying to hear your voice, man. So, you know, it's actually speaking out of the words right now, man. A lot of our guys out here talking, man, but they ain't walking that talk, man. You know, it's like you walking that talk, man. You know what I'm saying? You doing what you're supposed to do. You moving and grooving at the same time. You know what I'm saying? You proving the points. The problem we got on these streets right now is guys talking, man. They talking too much. You know what I mean? It's about action right now, bro. You know what I mean? You gotta do what you say you're going to do. And you're an OG, you got to live what you're talking about to these kids, man. You got to show them what you represent is real, you know what I mean? It's a lot of guys out here that's out here, you know, just leading these shorties and stuff. I'm going to give you a prime example. Like, when I was coming up, man, when we seen the dope dealers and the drug and the gangbangers and the pimps and all the guys we were looking up to back in the day, we wanted to be like them. So what we got to do as a people is reverse the psychology, and they got to see the successful people out there on the blocks are doing some things and stuff. Instead of seeing gangbangers and drug dealers, they got to see entrepreneurs out there. They got to see businessmen out there. They got to see, you know, we got to be out there on the blocks with them shorties, showing them they can get that money and come up out of that situation that they're in, because they feel like they're stuck in those situations. When I was growing up, I thought I was stuck on them four blocks. I didn't know I could go out there and get good credit and get jobs and go. I messed up all that when I was a kid because I didn't, and especially with my criminal history, man. This one thing about the criminal history that the hood don't understand, that they need to know. The hood need to know this, man. When you a petty crime like that, a theft case or what we call petty crimes, when you get old as an adult, that petty crime has become a major crime, because now you can't get credit, now you can't get a good apartment or a good house, or now you can't get that loan you need to be successful in life. So we take the things in life that we think is small as kids. As immature adults, and we think, oh man, that's a petty case, man. I'll be out next week, or I'll be out next tomorrow. But all that time, that petty case will haunt you for the rest of your life, man. You know, and they don't get taught to us, man. The kids, so we think we get locked up, and they go, oh man, that ain't nothing. I was a minor. No, dude. When you get 50 years old, when you get 35, when you get 25 years old, and you're trying to go get that car, or you're trying to get that apartment, and you got a theft on your record, a petty theft that you thought was petty when you was a kid, that's going to mess up. You're not going to be able to get that apartment or get that house you're trying to get when you get older. So, you know, we got to be teaching our kids, teaching the youth, you know, the consequences of their actions, as well as showing them, you know, okay, that's like when I was a dope guy. I was showing them how I could be successful in a dope game, but I didn't show them all the bad things that was happening to me in a dope game, all having to worry about somebody coming to rob me because I'm making so much money, or worry about my friends that I thought was friends coming to rob me and take from me. You know, or I have to worry about them police running up in my house when I had a family to take care of. You know, it's sacrifice that come behind, you know, the actions that we do as kids and as grown men. But we have to be able to learn from our past in order to build from it. You know, we can talk about our past all we want, and we can have enough of our past. But if we don't learn from the past, then we still lose, because we still end up doing the same thing and expecting different results. You know what I'm saying? But it can't be that. It, right now, like I said, man, that's why I call my product new dope. Everything I do, I call it new dope. Not because it's an illegal thing, because it's what I sell. That it's what I sell right now. Is if I was on the block selling it. Only thing now is I'm not doing right now. I'm writing lyrics. I'm writing literature. I'm publishing. I'm when I'm writing a verse to one of my songs, I feel like I'm cooking up dope right then and there. Or when I'm writing a couple of pages to my book, I feel like I'm bagging up dope right there. Because guess what? I'm gonna go right back out there on the streets, go back out them hoods, and go back out there to the public world, and I'm gonna sell it. I'm gonna slag it just like I was on the block. You see what I'm saying? And then that needs to be sold to the guys on the block. This was another big problem is they think. The guys from the hood, we want them to give us some money, man. And that's not what it is, bro. It ain't about giving us nothing. It's about showing us how to get the money and keep the money. Showing us how to become entrepreneurs. Showing us how to become businessmen. You know what I'm saying? If you're a businessman, you done made it out the hood, it should be your duty to go back to show the guys who you know struggling, who trying to do something with their life to come up out their situation. It ain't about saving everybody. But it's about helping change that mind frame of the hood, man. We raised with an effed up hood mentality, bro. We raised to think we can't be nothing. You feel what I'm saying? So giving back to them shorties, man, is right now it ain't about talking about nothing with them shorties. It's about giving to them, showing them how to go get it. You know what I'm saying? Showing them the right way to go get it. So then we'll have to be running from the police when they're slanging dope. So they can have their own product to sell and learn how to be a businessman about it, because that's what we all are anyway, man. You know what I'm saying? We try to be kings, but when you got kings that you put in the wrong direction, you send them in the wrong direction, you lead them in the wrong direction. When you have blind leading the blind, then you come up with the same solution to the problem. So, first of all, they got to have an ear to the open. And how you get the ear to the shorties is you show them what you're talking about instead of talking about what you're talking about. It's about showing us, man. We got to be out here seriously out there talking to taking action with the kids, man. Taking action with the community. You know what I mean? Really being in the community and putting forth action. Stop talking about it and being about it, man. That's what it's all about right now. Showing and proving, man. Being out there, being an example. So for them kids, so them kids can see you out there and be like, oh, I want to be like that. And then we got them switching the game from being illegal dope dealers to real dope dealers, man. And that's what I got to tell you. It touched me a lot because I was one of the guys who was out there, you know, banging and carrying pistols thinking that I was protecting myself, but all the time I was hurting my community, didn't know no better. So I'm one of the guys who y'all talking about right now who needed to be reached out to at the times when I was going through that, because I feel like if I would have seen an entrepreneur out there on the block, if I would have seen somebody out there doing something with their life on the block, I would have had a choice to go that route. But by us as ghetto soldiers and people of poverty, we don't see too many positive men come in our community and actually help the community. We'll see a positive person come in the community and you won't see them but one time. You know what I'm saying? They're like, yeah, get the life right, woo, woo. But then it's like, okay, you told us that, but where you at when it's time to show us how to go get it, though? You feel what I'm saying? So when you give it back, you have to give back to the fullest. It ain't about, like, yeah, when I do commission, I don't do it to show no face. You know what I'm saying? That's not about show face. It's about proving, showing my guys, encouraging, you know, enlightening. It's about enlightening and helping people, man, when I do things like that. And that's what that's all about, man, reaching out to touch people who you can save for people who couldn't do it for you, bro. And that's what I got to say about that situation, Hess. Thank y'all for giving me some time on this phone, too, bro.
Thank you for sharing, good brother. And tell everybody how they can reach you, bro.
Man, technically, y'all can hear me. Us Before Me, somebody, Facebook, Instagram, man. I'm on Twitter, somebody, everything. Us Before Me, everything, man. I'm on everything. So, I mean, reach out. I'm on the block, man. I like for y'all to see me on those blocks. I'm out here on these blocks, man. So, you know, y'all go see me out here, period, man. Us Before Me, Reverb Nation, Salt Body. I'm talking about Us Before Me, the Third Body Movie, Civil War. We type in all that, Google all that, man. Yeah.
Already, family. We love you very much, bro.
Appreciate y'all. What more?
All is well. You know, family, I just want to thank our brother Sharp Body, man, who's out of Chicago and definitely stays up in Minnesota a lot and now is out in California throughout the highways and byways, traveling and taking this thing to the streets, taking it to the corners, to the blocks, to the hoods, to the ghettos, to the barrios, you know what I mean, and reaching out to different tribes and affiliates, having them all up under one umbrella. I got to be honest with you, man. This brother has motivated me so much over the years, because when we first went into Chicago with the Pops Movement, this brother was right there ready. He had a team of BDs, GDs, Vice Lords, Stones, ready to come out there on 63rd, ready to come out there on King Drive in the heart of Inglewood, and to be able to not only just show the love of these six steps of Pops Movement, but also to spread the Us Before Me type love. See, he put us before himself. He put the streets and the street affiliates before his own hopes, wants, and desires. Through that type of a spirit, this brother right here is definitely giving the streets what he wish he had for himself. Man, that's love and salutes to you, King.
King, more to you, King. I bet God.
That's love. Peace and blessings, love and service. We're going to keep this thing flowing and going, man. The next up on the mic, we got area code again, 619-208. 619-208. Your mic is hot. Peace and blessings.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, this is Nikki Keys, Shannon Nikki Keys. I am down in Winchester, California. I work out of L.A. And I just wanted to say hey to everybody. And add on to what the brother just said, what he was just adding to with everything else. What it is that I know is the one thing that needs to be remembered is we are priceless. Our exhibits from Africa are priceless. No matter where we're from, they're priceless exhibits. And when it comes to the history of everything and the gangs and everything, with us coming from all different parts of the world and moving to wherever we move to, no matter where we go, we can find people that we can associate with. And they used to be called tribes, but now they're called gangs. And history says tribe. Now is gangs. And it's people getting along, people protecting one another, people sticking together, everything that you can think of, the terminology is now called a gang. And to look at it from that perspective, yes, we do have to get out there and show what is that's going on. But we also have to remember, after everything that we've all been through, we can still all group together. We can all, everybody can find a place to go. It's just difficult at times, finding a proper mentor, being able to express what it is that you need, being able to tell the truth of what's really going on, if it's an abusive situation in the household, or there's so many different things as to why you would even join a gang. There's so many different reasons why you would join a gang, join a tribe. I say tribe. Why you would choose that tribe and not that tribe. Maybe it's the location and that tribe is right in front of your face. That gang's right in front of your face and they're there all the time. Or maybe that person from this gang helped you out and they didn't even realize they helped you out, so you wanted to help them out back. Just realizing that the tribes of Africa, the tribes of Asia, the tribes of the Caribbean, you name it. If no matter where you go, there are tribes. No matter where you go, there are gangs of people that stick together, that work together, and that peacefully work together. And that is what it is that I have to say about it. I just wanted to add that little aspect to everything and just drop that knowledge. It's priceless museums. They're priceless. They have more security around our past and everything else that we don't even have access to. They know more about us than we know at the moment. But then again, we can sit back and rebuild it. They might have took it, but we can rebuild it and reshape it and say, hey, you know what? All these tribes can come together and look at this. We created something else priceless. And we're all getting together along. And so that's how I see it when it comes to the gangs and everything. I'm just going to mute my phone and continue listening. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Sister Queen. Peace and blessings. Y'all know our Sister Queen has definitely been a status point down in Jacksonville, Florida, up to Washington, D.C., and now out in Southern California. We send much salutes to our Sister Shannon Nikki Keys for all the work that she has done, not only as an apostle, but as a servant of our communities, our hoods. You know, I love this sister most because this sister has shown me the dedication that she has to integrity. She finds those who y'all, excuse me. I'm laughing because it touched my heart when I just thought about it. You know, when you think about strength within an individual and inspiration that they give you, this sister definitely has that inspiration because, look, y'all, she will find those who are sincere and serious. She will find those who are flawed and are doing things for personal gain. She will find it. And it just reveals itself to her, and she passes this type of information through different networking circles in our poverty-stricken communities, areas, and grassroots movements. And it's like she has sharpened me as a man, as a servant, and as a speaker, as a voice box of the ghetto. And I thank this sister so much. Sister, we wish you many peace and blessings and love and service, okay? That's love. Well, we're going to go back to our next caller. But before we do, I want to read this poem because it looked like this is my big brother, G2. I hope it is. I hope I'm not wrong. I wrote this a while back because I knew I needed a leader. I needed an instructor. I needed a teacher of some sort. And so I looked in the dictionary and I found a word called didactic. Didactic means intended to instruct, morally instructive, and inclined to teach or moralize excessively. And when I think about a skillful teacher or one who is skillful in teaching, this is what came to my mind. An instruct-free people have no value for knowledge passed down. Have our society begun to vainly believe this method is sound? Many play the role of having so much already figured out so well, to where conversations quickly become mundane, and thus we fail. The time has come to awaken the body by making the aware anew, educating ones of their faculty and why each intricate detail is true. When you're made knowledgeable of all you have at your reach, nothing short of death can stop you from valuing those who teach. Because from them, life is made more abundant and options multiply, while fears and lies no longer have power, and thus you fortify. So encourage yourself to plant didacts all around you in physical and in books. Then I promise, if done to a quality degree, you will extend God's fishing hooks. And that's by your reach, your teach, and your love and service. With that being said, I want to go to our next caller, area code 760-409. Your mic is hot. Peace and blessings. Okay, let me try one more time. Area code 760-409. Your mic is hot. Peace and blessings. Okay, I'm not sure why my caller is not coming in, but we're going to try back in just a second. But before we do, you know, family, I want to get back on this topic and subject at hand. Why should I care about street gangs and organizations? And, you know, one of the things that really contributed to tonight's topic was a discussion that myself and Brother Jan Gazinski had a while back. And I'm going to tell y'all about that after a short break. We're going to have a quick break. We're going to go to a song. And then we come back, we're going to go back to our caller at the 760 number. And we're going to go into this. And then we're going to go back on to why this topic became so, so influential in tonight's discussion. Peace and blessings. We'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to go to a short song. I apologize. I told y'all it's cold in the studio, and for some reason, my controls are not working as effectively as I thought they would. But I definitely appreciate everybody's patience with me. We are speaking tonight about why should we care about our street gangs and street organizations. We're going to go to a short, brief break again. As I said, you know, family, think about this question. When we come back, we're going to go back to our call, and then we're going to break this thing down child style. Y'all stay with us here at Pops Movement Radio.
brother long gone to glory. It's too late for him to tell his story. The streets took over, claimed another soldier, and his body lay colder. His father's kids grow colder and bolder. Ooh, I think I did it all for new. What am I to do? Brother had hustled for hours, selling dope and hope for power. These people watching, set him up and took his stash. Neighborhoods clash for cash, so right now it's red nash. Life trying to make a move. Now I left his family here. Sing the blues, sing the blues, sing the blues. Lord, send us a savior. Tell us somebody. Lord, send us a savior. Send us a savior.
Ooh.
Blessings, love, and service. You are back with us here at Pops Movement Radio Networks, and this is Sunday Street Talks. You know, Street Talks has committed itself to coming in every Sunday that we possibly can, no matter what, even up under extreme circumstances and conditions, in order to be able to deliver what it is that we can leading up to the 1993 Peace Summit anniversary to be held next year. In April, from April the 26th through the 29th in Los Angeles, California. You know what I mean, family? One thing that I can say that the dedication of coming here every Sunday night has definitely contributed to my ability to stay focused on one of the things that contribute to my life having meaning and purpose in it, and that's street affiliates. You dig? Growing up, throwing up gang signs or throwing up street organizational signs and being able to run the streets and do what it is that felt good around a crew of other believers. That felt good. It felt good when you didn't have a mother or a father to go home to. But every time you left out of that house or that home or that apartment or that juvenile cell, you knew you could go back to that crew, to that group of guys and some sisters who felt the same way you felt, that believed the same things that you believed in, and that was willing to give up just about anything they had to keep each other happy, even if just for a day. You know, with that being said, family, I welcome you back in here to Pops Movement Radio Networks. And, you know, tonight we have definitely broke down through Brother Sharkbody and Sister Queen Shannon Nikki Keys about why should we care about street gangs and street affiliates, street organizations. Why should we care? And one of the things that definitely stood out to me in my heart is the fact that we have a obligated duty to strengthen our weakest links. And as humanity, regardless of whether we can associate life to being one who was lost in the streets or to having a family member or to having a mate who knows the ravages and the pain of growing up in the streets. You know, family, we have an obligated duty to be about our people's business. And when we know we're only as strong as our weakest link, we must look to the weakest link in order to do what we can to strengthen them, to make them stronger. In doing so, family, we give back what it is that has been given to us along this road that we call life. So with that being said, family, I welcome you all back into the studios here. We're going to go back to our caller, area code 760-409. Your mic is hot. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. You hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you well, big brother. Tell everybody your name, where you're calling from, and come on in and speak from your heart.
This is G.T. Siddiqui. I'm calling from Los Angeles area. I apologize earlier. My phone has a mind of its own, so when it wants to work, it will. And I'm at the chastise it. I'm at the chastise it and place it. Just,
hey, don't feel
just
bad.
I was trying to...
Big brother, don't feel bad. Our studio was doing the same thing at the same time.
It's just I was trying to come off from mute. They decided they didn't want to come off. But I'm happy to be here. Unfortunately, on Sundays, I have a conference call that conflicts with the Pops Radio, so I had to give up one to be able to participate in another. And so I'm honored to be able to participate, hear a few words, and listen to those that have that wisdom that's coming from across the country. I listened to Brother Shortbody and the sister, and I concur with what they said. And I also want to make a comment that it's an old saying that our youth or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, you know. And so we all might not be in a position to do what Brother Shortbody is doing. And I commend him for everything that he's doing. But just showing our young people that we care. You know, I got two examples I want to point to that goes back quite a few decades. Back in the day, I used to lowride. That was my history coming up since 12 years old. I got in the cars. And I recall one day we used to have a little club, lowriding club. And I remember one day, about five or six of the brothers in the club, we were hanging out at our usual spot. And about three or four youngsters between the ages of maybe 10 to 14 was walking down the street. And they were admiring the cars. So I'm watching these youngsters ooh and ahhing over the cars. And so when they got close to me, I'm standing by my car, and I asked them, do they want to hit the switch? And for those that don't know what that means, it's hydraulics in the car that makes the car go up and down. And every last one of the eyes just got wide. And they came over, I showed them how to hit it. They hit the switch. And got all excited about it, and they continued on their way. Fast forward about 30 years later, I'm on my way into the market, and this brother's walking out of the market. And brother about 6'4", 6'5", and we're in the parking lot. He's coming, just coming out the store, you know, and someone that's always aware of my surroundings, I'm checking him out. And he's staring at me real intently. But he got that look on his face like this could be good or bad. So I start sizing him up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take his knees out first, bring him down to about, bring him down some, and then I wear on that body. You know, so all this is going through my head as he's approaching me. And he's got that look, that banging look like, you know, what set you from or something like that. So when he got up on me, he called me by my slave name. And anybody that calls by my slave name goes back to the 60s and 70s. So I'm like, Yeah, they used to call me that. And this brother got excited, put a smile on his face. He said, man, you don't know how much of a difference you made in my life. And he told me about the story of him and his partners walking down the street and me telling him, asking, do you want to hit the switch? Just that little bit of interest in him stayed with him all those years. I had another incident happen, and this was within the last year. I'm not in L.A. I'm in Reno Valley, which is Riverside County. And I go into a 7-Eleven. And his brother, he's a big brother too. He was bigger than this other dude, stocky, but about 6'5". And he walks in the store just ahead of me. So it's a long line. I'm standing in line. He went to the where the cold section was, and then he came back up. And by the time he got back up, it was probably about 5 or 6 people behind me. So I told him, I said, brother, you came in before me. Go ahead and get in front of me. So he got in line, and he goes, you know, he gets the cashier. He pays for his stuff. I got to ask, are y'all still with me, because his phone is messing up?
Yes, sir. We hit you loud and clear.
Okay. He gets to the front, pays for his stuff, and it was something else I said. And then he turned to me and he said, brother, is your name G2? I said, yeah. You know, so of course that old thing came out again. I'm like, what's going on? He said, oh man. And he started telling me about when he was like 8 or 9 years old. He used to hang out at his body shop. He used to hang out there because I let all the little kids kind of hang out as long as they didn't get into nothing. He said he used to hang out. He said, you used to pay me to, when cars came in, you would pay me to clean them out. And I mean, this brother, he was excited. He said, I wonder what happened to you. And so those two incidents told me, these youngsters helped me understand how important it is that we show them that we care. You know, when you asked the question earlier, why should we care? For one, that's our future. You know, and there's a lot of reasons that the sister related that is different reasons that you get in a street organization or a gang or a tribe. And, you know, and historically, we can see a lot of stuff that points to that. You know, the void that was created when our fathers and mothers were part of the civil rights movement, and then the black liberation movement started, and those that were snatched up and locked up and killed created a void where a lot of this other stuff came in. We also can look at the fact that prison is not just for punishment; it's a big business. It's a multi-billion-dollar business. So we can look at all those factors, but it comes down to showing our young people that we care, because they are our future. If we don't nurture our future, then where will we be? That's my piece.
That's strong, big brother. I really appreciate that piece as well, because, you know, one of the things that everybody, well, I'm going to say everybody, but if anybody knows me, they know that it's hard to lead me. It's real hard, and I'm just being honest, because, you know, I'm a bucker, you know, and I'm a tester, and I'm a, you know, I'm one who strives to ensure that I have the most qualified teachers and leaders around me, because I want the very best. I want the, you know, if they got a grade A, then I want grade A teachers, because I want to give grade A service to my people. And, you know, brother, I can honestly say that over the past year, now that I have known you, you have definitely allowed me to see that I have a new standard that I must live up to. And it's a standard of being strong, of being able to refortify myself every day for the different onslaughts. And one of the things that I have learned from you is that I realize now what they say when they say embrace your struggle. because some of us was built to last, but it took us going through some of the most hurtful moments, the most crushing blows being pounded upon us in order for us to be so tough, so strong, you know what I mean? So integral in a society that is so lacking therein. And it's like, man, you know, when I listen to you and when I hear about you and I hear other people tell stories about when I hear people tell stories about you, I'd be like, you know what I mean? I just have to smile because, you know, it's like, man, you got to be tough to be a leader with our people, man. You got to be strong. You got to be sincere. You got to be so blatantly honest. Where people just ain't gonna like you because you're not no ass. I'm sorry, I ain't mean to cuss y'all. I apologize. You are not behind the kissel. And we got a lot of that going on in our poverty stricken communities, you know what I mean? For whatever reason, because of the reason of wanting influence or wanting money or wanting, you know, just having a larger networking system. But it's like, you know, brother, I really give, you know, strong accolades to, you know, what it is that you have built as a standard, and that standard has helped me to raise my standard to become higher, and I'm going to live up to it. I know it, so help me God, just continue to live up to what you're doing, you dig? But before you go, big brother, I just wanted to ask you, can you drop on us what your vision is as it pertains to what we're doing and working on the 2018 Peace Summit in L.A.?
Okay. One of the things, having participated in the first summit of 93, and either myself or one of the staff from Back Door participating in all the other summits, what I saw is that it was almost the equivalent of going to graduation before you actually went to school. You know, we were celebrating the fact that we could bring brothers and sisters together, but that foundation wasn't solid. It wasn't nothing that was left for them to build on and continue to grow. So, and we also, it was always the elders or those that had that experience that were leading the way. You know, we got to give these young people a chance to express what they know or what they would like to share. We got to also arm them with knowledge, arm them with knowledge that lays that proper foundation. So when we leave out of this 25-year commemoration and also paying homage to the brother who had the vision to put this together back in 93, Carl Upchurch, when we leave from there, we need to leave with something that's sustainable. Something that we can move to the next. This is the beginning. This is not an end. But we need to have some concrete things in place so we can continue to build on that. As I said earlier, these young people are our future. Whether you're in a street organization or whether you're going to school and trying to make it, these are our youth. You know, and we can't continue to give them up to the system. We can't continue to give them up to the graveyard. You know, we got to be able to help them understand some of the fundamental things that they need to do, but also listen to what they have to say. You know, and so I'm hoping that part of that vision of coming out of this with the game plan, with something that's going to move us into 2019 and further, that comes out of this summit.
That's love, big brother. That's love. And we definitely continue to encourage those who are willing to be a part to, you know, check out our big brother on Facebook, Mr. G2 Siddiqui. And I will definitely tag his name along with Sister Shannon Nikki Keys and Brother Shout Body McCray on our Facebook page and link. So y'all please check out our family members after this show and anybody that would like to be a part of what it is that we are working with our elder to create, you know, please, y'all,
look up peacesummit2018.org and get involved, get active, and get with the program. Thank you so much, big brother, and I love you very much, family. All right, family, with that being said, y'all know what time it is, man. I'm going to go to another little brief spoken word. It says that a man who values peace creates solutions in daily storms. She that loves serenity refuses to go along with chaotic norms. But what is it that compels our peacekeepers in the hood? How do they hold on to love and compassion for those who hate good? I can hardly grasp the ability to remain right in confusion's middle. Which muscles do they rely upon when carrying our ghetto's demonic riddle? The police kill less than 7%. Now it's mostly us who need addressing. So coming face to face with our worst ain't easy for one to be professing. Yet they arise each day with a firm resolution to make known peace, striving at each opportunity of hood life to produce a new leaf. And after all they deliver us, hardly a high office see fit to reward. Thank God this noble people look to the end at a gift from our Lord. And you know, family, I say that because it is our peacekeepers that continuously find a reason every day to go out and to get into the lives of those who need them the most, whether it's through delivering confidence, whether it's through giving them the true history, whether it's providing them with the recognition that they deserve, or whether it's through taking time out to simply be a fly on the wall and hear their story. These are the peacekeepers who must daily bear the burden of our worst in the community. And I personally want to salute everybody who see value, because had it not been for you and the heart that you have in your chest, I would not be here today. Someone saw value in my life, even though I was a killer, a drug dealer, what they labeled a gangbanger, a prison gang leader, what they labeled so many labels upon that I could not even write down everything that was a part of my MO, meaning my modus operandi based upon their classification. But people just like you did not go off of their classification. When you saw me, you saw a young man at the age of 25, 27 years old, 29 years old, who still wanted to make his life useful to his people. You saw a light inside of me, even though I only showed darkness. You saw hope inside of me, even though I felt hopeless. You saw life, even though I felt lifeless. And it's because of you and the courage that you had to enter the life of someone who was so cold and raw that I began to warm up, that I began to see outside of the box, that I began to envision a whole new way of providing protection for my people, love for my family, and the ability to forgive myself for the worst that I had ever committed. You see, it was going through this process that you walked me through step by step. You provided that Alcoholics Anonymous book. You gave me the psychology books, the criminology books, and you continued to give me the encouragement that I could make it just one more lesson and one more day. And through that concept of one day at a time, even when I was sentenced to life in prison and told that I would not come up for parole for 35 years of doing prison time before I would ever be reviewed for the possibility of parole, you told me don't focus on what the system gave you. You focus on what God gave you, and he only gave you today. And as long as your vision is outside of that cell, there is no way in hell that that imprisonment can keep you captive. And you see, that's what you all gave, my life. And you continue to restore that each and every day that you breathe. You breathe life into us. You breathe love into us. You believe in what it is that we are capable of, even in our rawest moments in life. And that is why it is so important that we must care about our street gangs and street organizations, because it's the most ruthless of that gang and street org that will lead to the most profound and effective and qualified individuals to go up and raise up the standards of our people in the trenches, in the ghettos, in the chain gangs, in the gangs and street affiliations. And so I just want to say that, family, because we need you all. We need your love. We need your time. We need you to hope that we can become more than what we've been capable of producing. And with that, family, I just continue to thank y'all so much for being a part of our Sunday night platform. One of the things that we had asked according to this show was, what do we do as a great and mighty people who has forgotten our weakest link? What do we do? And I say it is to become great again, to become mighty again. Because when we become great and become mighty, what we say is hopeless, it becomes hope-filled. And when you believe in something and you expect something, it begins to see that it can materialize. Our street gangs can become the most greatest entrepreneurs that our society has ever known. They can become the strongest army that our society has ever known. They can become the most righteous minister that our society has ever known. Why do you say that, Brother Hess? I say that because at the age of 13, 12, 13, and 14, they have the guts to go out into the streets that everyone else is afraid of and face whatever they may in order to survive the cold life that they live. Anyone who has that much courage to go out into an unknown place and an unknown space and time with such havoc and chaos going on, I tell you, family, if they're able to do this as a child, what more could they not do as a grown, mature, and spirit-filled man and woman? And so that's why we do what we do as a great and mighty people. That's how we mend our links. We believe in them until they learn to believe in themselves. We show them our roadmaps out until they build the map for themselves. And we continue to nurture them with encouragement, with inspiration, with hope, with love. I mean a love so raw and so deep. And yeah, they're going to think they're getting down on us from time to time. But we just remain honest like Brother G2. We continue to come back on that block like Brother Shaw Body. And we continue to minister to them like our beloved sister Shannon Nikki Key. And with that form of love and service, our people will awaken day by day, step by step, life by life. It's not our fault what has happened to us. But it is our fault if we ignore our responsibility and duties to get this thing back on track. These are our people, y'all. And nobody gonna love them if we don't love them. The world loves what is loved, and the world hates what is hated. It is our responsibility to no longer allow our people in poverty to hate our own people in poverty. If our people are sick, then you are the remedy. Why are you running? If our people are disabled, you are their crutch. Why are you denying it? And if we see what it is that's needed, if we feel
what it is that they are going through. And it is our duty to at least connect them to something greater than what they know right now. If they knew better, they would truly do better, family, because it makes sense to them. Who wants to hurt? Who wants to be in pain? Who loves loneliness? A cold alley? To say a drug to their own mama? Who wants that, family? You know, I went to church today, and your old pops movement is not a religious platform. But I just want to share with you a principle that I learned today. You know, in church they spoke about how important it is to get into the lives of our people. And one of the elements of that service was based on what I read to you earlier in tonight's show, reconciliation. Reconciliation, or to reconcile, is to reestablish a close relationship between. Reconcile is to settle or to resolve, to bring oneself to accept. Have we begun to truly reestablish a close relationship between us and our street gangs? Because those are our children. Those are our sisters and brothers. Those are our people. And regardless of whether we like their way of dealing with life or not, it is our duty to reestablish a closer relationship between them and us. And if we got so much figured out, how in the hell can we figure out that that is our responsibility to a sick people who are out there killing themselves? You cold bastard. Excuse my French. No disrespect to no one, especially not myself. Because when I say you cold bastard, I speak to myself when I sit up and knowing that they're out there hurting, that they're hungry, that they're spiritless, that their soul has totally left away from their ability to see. And so the only thing that they feed is their vindictiveness, is their expression of showing outwardly what they feel inside. And so in order to not be that cold bastard, I have to get back out there in them streets, in them trenches. I have to get on the front line. I have to find these lives, and I have to begin to recreate a bond, reestablish a connection. And that's why the six steps to Pop's movement is so important to me. Step one is forming a bond based on how I can be valuable to their life while expecting nothing in return. You know, family, that's what our street affiliates need, someone to bond with them, looking for nothing in return. If they do better, to God be the glory. If they become worse, to God be the glory. Because that worse is what's going to lead to an even stronger best. Everybody is a lesson in life. With that being said, I don't want to, you know, close out this show by, you know, just closing out. I want to close it out by reading to you what it is that was written in the men's group with a lot of street affiliates. It's called I Am. It says, I am he that committed wrong while striving to get right. I am the boy living that rap song, clean into prison as I fight. I am spending many years alone without hardly a family member in sight. I am the one who turned strong because this ain't all I am, all right? I am who you see. Today I am a man, one who recovered his sight. I am my third eye saying I can while envisioning wings in my flight. I am the voice which gave a command. Brother Hess, reach for a new height. I am one who can firmly stand facing a black struggle with skin so light. I am what I aspire to become. in spite of what others classify me. I am all that I came from, every intricate detail in the life you see. I am not any better than a bum, because we both make up humanity. I am one who is the beat of a drum, sounding the alarm for my bruh so naturally. I am hope, which believes in you. Will someone receive this call? I am the spirit who needs a few, because alone I tend to fall. I am a brother within this crew, never to leave mine as we crawl. I am the faith we'll walk steps anew with plans to spiritually ball. I am that in which I am. What I am not can never be me. I am striving as a servant to my fam, because every life is God's family. In peace and blessings, in love and service, family, we have brought you what it is that we have tonight. And I hope that you got something from this live broadcast. If you did, then I pray that you will put up a post of a comment you heard, of a statement made, of a story told. And, you know, family, just hashtag Pops Movement in it, so our other Pops Movement family can see and click those hashtags and continue to remind themselves of the lesson that was brought here through this love and service. I thank everybody for chiming in. I thank everybody who listened in and called in and took time to be a part of our Sunday night with Pops. And family, we will continue to come back every Sunday night as we strive to prepare the stage for Peace Summit 2018. If you would like to be involved, family, please remember to set your calendars for every Tuesday evening, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern Time. And that call-in number is 724-707-3579. And the extension code is 70382. Again, that is Tuesday night, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. And the call-in number is 724-707-3579. And the extension is 70382. Y'all check out more on this and get a better conception on what our big brother, Mr. G2 Siddiqui, was speaking on about this Peace Summit at www.peacesummit2018.org, and continue to send your prayers up. You know, family, we do have a GoFundMe account where every penny that is contributed toward this event, it must go, as sanctioned and voted upon by the committee who is organizing this event. It must go into that GoFundMe account. That way that the family, the streets, and everyone can see everything that we have to work with in order to create a four-day event in Los Angeles, California, from April the 26th to the 29th. Family, we need to reach another $339 before the end of November. We need your help. If you are able to commit even just $2, please go click that link on my Facebook page. Please click that link, and please place whatever your heart can give. I love y'all so very much, and I wish you many peace and blessings, love and service. Good night, family.
With you, this ain't the honeymoon, past the infatuation phase. Right in the thick of love, at times we get sick of love, it seems like we argue every day. I know I misbehaved, and you made your mistakes, and we both still got room left to grow. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make the this thing work, but I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, oh. This time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, oh. This time we'll take it slow. This ain't a movie, no. No fairy tale conclusion, y'all. It gets more confusing every day. Sometimes it's heaven sent, then we head back to hell again. We kiss, then we make up on the way. I hang up, you call. We rise and we fall, and we feel like just walking away. As our love advances, we take second chances. Though it's not a fantasy, I still want you to stay. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow.
Time will take it slow.